June 30th marks the one-year anniversary of the return of Issues Etc., and we'd like to celebrate this milestone with you. You're invited to an open house at the studio and office of Lutheran Public Radio beginning Tuesday afternoon at 4 on June the 30th. Food, friendship, and fun. RSVP to Craig at issuesetc.org. We hope to see you here in Collinsville, Illinois on Tuesday, June the 30th. RSVP to Craig at issuesetc.org.
On voit que les États-Unis sont l'un des plus grands pays musulmans de la planète.
We'd be one of the largest Muslim countries in the world.
Freedom means freedom for everyone. Many of you know one of my daughters is gay. People ought to be free to enter into any kind of union they wish.
If Dr. Tiller is not here to serve a woman's right to choose, who will be here to do it?
Thank you, Dr. Tiller, for allowing me to have a choice with my reproductive health.
It is not something to rejoice in when someone is killed, even if he or she is an abortionist.
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love Issues, etc.
You don't see this very often anymore. Christian missionary work has become a timid thing. Not always, but so much more nowadays. A missionary would go to a culture, a strange and exotic culture. They're more concerned about fitting into that culture, its ways and its ways of thinking, sometimes than even proclaiming the truth of God's word. This is what's come to pass for Christian missionary work. It's more about fitting Jesus into the culture than proclaiming Christ to people across the lines of culture. And it's sad because at its very best, the history of Christian missionary work was nothing like that. It was bold, it was brave, it was death-defying in many ways. The church remembers on this day one of those missionaries, also a bishop and a martyred saint. Boniface, we'll be doing that here in the first 10 minutes of Issues, Etc., going all the way back to the 8th century. Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, and thanks for tuning us in on this Friday afternoon, the 5th of June. If you have a question or a comment during the next hour, feel free to give us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or email us with a question or comment, talkback. At issuesetc.org, we get those emails right here in the studio in real time. After our conversation on St. Boniface, we'll spend the rest of today's program discussing the commandment, honor your father and your mother. Pastor Peter Bender will be our guest. Dr. Matthew Phillips joins us here for the first 10 minutes. He's assistant professor of history at Concordia University, Nebraska. Matt, welcome back.
It's great to be here.
This is a kind of unknown today. St. Boniface is famous at one point in his missionary journeys for chopping down a sacred oak tree, I believe, and building a Christian church out of it, much to the chagrin of the pagans all around him. Tell us the story.
That's right. Boniface, by that time, had been approved by Pope Gregory II to be essentially the missionary bishop to the Germanic peoples on the east side of the Rhine River. He went to it's near the modern-day town of Fritzlar, or another area called Geismar. It's in central Germany today in the Hesse-Thuringia area. There was a holy oak dedicated to Thor, the great Norse god and Germanic god Thor that we're familiar with. And he took an axe to that tree and cut it right down, and then took the wood that was taken from the tree and built a famous chapel out of it, and there's a cathedral there today at the same site. The cathedral was, added to, and there's a newer cathedral, but the city of Fritzlar, or town of Fritzlar in central Germany, the cathedral is still there at the same site.
We tend to think about these parts of the world at the very least broadly Christian terms. I mean, the Germanic area, although Germany didn't exist at the time, would eventually become the land of Luther and of the Reformation. It's almost hard for us to fathom that when Boniface walked that soil, it was pagan soil, thoroughly, from top to bottom.
Well, part of it was and part of it wasn't. There's an interesting history there. The Rhine was kind of a split area. On the west side of the Rhine, you had a lot more Christian, predominantly Christian or at least nominally Christian. There had been some missionary activity before Boniface. Some of those people have been killed already. There was an Irish saint named Killian who shows up. We don't know as much about him. And there was a couple of other, like Boniface, who came from actually from England. Like Boniface was actually originally from England, who had been to that place too. But when Boniface showed up, he actually expected there to be more Christian activity than there was, which is kind of funny. But it was more pagan than it was Christian in many of the places he went there in central Germany and southern Germany, too.
Who was Boniface?
He was actually not Boniface, born Boniface. His name was Winfred or Winfrith, depending on how you want to pronounce it. He was actually a Anglo-Saxon from the old Anglo-Saxon kingdom of Wessex in southern England today. He was born around 680, approximately. That's the best we know. And he became a monk in the early 700s. And like a lot of Anglo-Saxon Christian monks, desired to travel to the continent and become a missionary to help convert to Christianity their people they considered to be their tribal brothers that were also Saxons and Germanic peoples that spoke similar languages to them. And he got the name Boniface. He eventually ended up going to Rome in 719, where the Bishop of Rome, Gregory VII, gave him a Latinized name, Boniface. And Boniface goes back to a Roman martyr, too. So he gave him this new name.
Now, he would eventually fulfill the capacity of that name by being martyred himself.
That's correct. His original desire was to go and preach to a group of people called the Frisians. Now, the Frisians were another Germanic group. Which were roughly in the area of what today we would call the Netherlands. The Low Countries, the Netherlands, maybe a little bit of Belgium, a little bit of southern Denmark. But they were essentially a Germanic group. They were mostly pagan, to whom he went to convert. He went there early in his ministry in the 720s, and then ended up spending most of his life in central Germany as a bishop, and then later Archbishop of Mainz. And then he died. He went back to the Frisians. And died there on June the 5th in 754 during Pentecost season. He died there. They were going to confirm a number of people that had been baptized, and instead of the confirmee showing up, a group of ruffians, killers, showed up. And some people say they were pagans. Others say they were probably pagans, but some people say they were just looking for loot, and the only loot they could find was a store of books. Which were probably the scriptures and liturgical books, one of which Boniface used to shield the sword which killed him. And supposedly, there's a very old book with some hack marks in it, and some people think it is the authentic book that goes back to that time. I've never seen it, so I'm not an expert in that area, so it'd be interesting to look at, though.
He did what many missionaries did at the time, which seems somewhat odd to us, but he founded monasteries according to the ancient rule of Saint Benedict. Why were monasteries considered part and parcel of missionary work at this time in the Christian Church?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, isn't it? Because the idea of a monastery in many ways was to get away from the world, right? Which is kind of fascinating because even Benedict's rule talks about getting away from the world. But for whatever reason, I like to think it was God's word having its way with these people. They knew they were to go out and because they were called, I believe, by the proper authorities at the time, to go out and preach the gospel. Monasticism was kind of a hybrid even. I mean, they certainly practiced a monastic life. Boniface lived a monastic life in many ways, but it was very unmonastic in another way, which was instead of locking yourself up in a monastery and praying all the time, to go out. But along the way, they would found monasteries, but not just monasteries. They also founded churches and built churches, and established numerous bishoprics all the way from modern-day Salzburg, Austria, all the way up to Erfurt, and many of the places that would later become Lutheran.
So is it safe to say, and he also was known as a reformer, under kind of the papal authority, but is it safe to say that Boniface in many ways is a historical precursor, literally and figuratively, of what would eventually become the Reformation?
I don't know if that's safe to say as a historian, because I would say they're so far apart, almost not 800 years apart. In this way, I would say yes. He was a man who treasured God's word. He believed devoutly in Jesus Christ, the Word became flesh, and he believed that the only way for anybody to go to heaven was to believe in Jesus Christ. So in that way, yes, he was thoroughly Christian. And since Lutherans prize the Catholic faith in the true sense of the word, not the Roman sense of the word, then yes, I would say in that sense. But historically, they're so far apart. It's kind of, as a historian, you kind of wary of making those connections, if that makes sense.
Well, sure it does. What do you think is the takeaway on a day when the church is remembering Saint Boniface? What should we remember most of him? With about 30 seconds here, Matt.
Well, most importantly of any person, we should remember the faith that God gave them in their baptism, and that's what Boniface died for. He did not die for a cause or he did not die for missionary zeal, although he lived missionary zeal. He died for the faith that was given to him in his baptism, and he lived it until his death. He died a martyr's death, but he was already dead because he had died with Christ in baptism and been raised to new life. That's the most important thing about Boniface. He was uncompromising, too, in the message. He even challenged Christian rulers who wanted to exploit the church and steal money from the church. That's what most of those reforming councils were about. He challenged the very rulers who protected him because he said, you can't be corrupt and take money. He challenged corrupt bishops. He got in trouble for that very often, too. So he wasn't just a missionary either. He was also in that sense, he tried to reform corruption. In his reforms, that's what he was really about.
Folks, you can read a short biography of St. Boniface under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Dr. Matthew Phillips is Assistant Professor of History at Concordia University, Nebraska. Matt, thank you for being our guest.
Hey, it was fun. Have a good day.
When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation on the commandments. A different commandment, a different guest, same commandments. Honor your father and mother is the commandment for our conversation on the other side of this break. Pastor Peter Bender will join us to talk about parents, parenting. You know, there's so much out there in Christian literature about parents and parenting, often completely ignored. Is what God's word gives us in this commandment, honor your father and mother. We'll talk about that after this. June 30th marks the one-year anniversary of the return of Issues Etc., and we'd like to celebrate this milestone with you. You're invited to an open house at the studio and office of Lutheran Public Radio beginning Tuesday afternoon at 4 on June the 30th. Food, friendship, and fun. RSVP to Craig at issuesetc.org. We hope to see you here in Collinsville, Illinois on Tuesday, June the 30th. RSVP to Craig at issuesetc.org.
What does Issues Etc. mean to you? Later this month, we'll celebrate the one-year anniversary of the return of Issues Etc., and we want to hear from you. Please leave your thoughts about this worldwide outreach on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from, 618-223-8384. What does Issues Etc. mean to you? 618-223-8384.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Historic liturgy, cool. Liturgical dance, not cool. Kneeling for the Lord's body and blood on a Sunday morning, cool. Sitting in your theater-style seat with cupful if you're a double mocha latte, not cool. We're the Brothers of John the Steadfast. If you're interested in traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice, check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Would you like to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a regular, monthly, tax-deductible gift? We've made it easy for you to donate using automatic withdrawal. Simply fill out and mail the automatic billing authorization form under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. No more writing monthly checks or making monthly PayPal contributions. Issuesetc.org. Click donate and fill out and mail the automatic withdrawal form. Thanks for your support.